The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. And I'm here in studio today, 8 to 9 a.m., delivering you financial advice in a language you can understand. We call our show Dollars and Cents. We're here, like I said, each and every Sunday morning. Been doing this for about 4 to 5 years now. It's amazing that I've been doing radio shows for so long, and we've been able to impact so many people on the North Shore, in the Merrimack Valley, in the southern New Hampshire area with a lot of great financial advice. I know so many people appreciate the fact that I'm willing to pull back the curtain and really share what's going on in the lives of personal finance, because we're inundated with advice all the time. We're forced to make decisions on a regular basis. It's not like the old days where you were provided with a pension and you walked away with your pension, you had Social Security, and it was all done. Now it's up to you to start making smart financial decisions. And what I'm running into and what I'm finding more often than not are people are becoming quite surprised when they realize how far off in some cases they might be from being able to achieve the retirement that they want. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I ran into a couple who had come in to see us. They're both 68 years old. And one is working, making about $85,000 a year. And she's not working at all. And they were hoping to retire in the next couple of years. And I said, well, how much do you need to cover your expenses on a month-to-month basis? And they really hadn't given it much thought, which really surprised me, but I guess it shouldn't, because that's how most people are. They really don't give much thought as to how much money they need to spend on a month-to-month basis, especially in retirement. But we started talking. We started looking at their tax return. We started exploring how much money comes into the household in that net paycheck. And when they started sharing what comes in on the net paycheck, because they had showed me some pay stubs, they said, well, usually, in addition to the money that comes in from our paycheck, we probably dip into our investments accounts to get another $20,000 or so for the year. Okay, so if you're making around $85,000, let's assume that 20% of that, 25% of it's going off to taxes, Social Security, a variety of other Social Security tax, federal tax, state tax, Medicare tax, all that stuff. So let's figure there's $60,000 or so left over from the 85. I know that's not quite 25%, but we'll just go to $60,000. You're taking another 20 from your investment account. That makes $80,000. So you're spending around $7,000 to $8,000 a year. I mean, $6,000 to $7,000 a month for your investments. And so we then began to look at what they had saved and put aside for investing for the future. And it turns out their collective accounts, if we added up their retirement accounts, their IRA accounts, their trust, they had a trust account, they had a personal investment account, they had a Roth account. They had all these accounts. The whole thing totaled $425,000. It might sound like a big number, $425,000, but if you stop working, can you continue to generate $6,000 or $7,000 from $425,000 along with your Social Security check? And they couldn't. And they just said, well, how many more years do I need to work so that I can? And the reality was, is that if they didn't take the extra $20,000 from their investment account, they probably could stop working. And he wanted to stop working, but they weren't willing to cut back on their expenses. And so they thought, well, perhaps there's an inheritance coming our way. His parents had passed away. Her parents were still alive in their 90s. And they had no idea whether there'd be an inheritance, but I'm thinking to myself, that's tough to plan your retirement on the hope that an inheritance will buttress your financial resources. We need to plan better, folks. and there's more and more people faced with this complex decision of having to potentially change their lifestyle because they haven't been diligent enough to put money aside for their own future. We encourage our kids early. We say to ourselves, geez, if I only knew now what I knew then, or what I didn't know then, you know, I'd encourage my kids to do stuff sooner. And we want our kids to be investing in their 401k plan, to be getting involved in a Roth IRA, to taking 10%, 15% of everything that they make and putting it aside for their future. But we live for today right now. Everybody wants to go to Capital Grille or go to one of these nicer restaurants or buy some of these nicer accessories or clothing lines. Some people can afford it, and some people do it purely to show off, but they can't. My kids are oftentimes asking me, Dad, you know, they'll drive through a neighborhood and they'll say, you know, look at some of these really, really nice houses. And I said, you know, a lot of these houses look really nice on the outside, but have you ever gone inside? You go inside some of these really nice houses, and many of the rooms are empty. They're empty. And that's because they leveraged everything that they had. They got mortgages that were almost as expensive as the full value of the house. And many people who are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, they're laughing right now because they say, well, I would have never done something like that. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. Why are these 30 and 40-year-olds doing this? Well, here's the truth, folks. The 30 and 40-year-olds, they're doing it. You know why? Because they see how frivolous you are with your money. And they expect an inheritance. Isn't that terrible? That's the truth, though. Because many people, think about what you do now. If you're in retirement right now, and you look at the assets that you have, let's say you've accumulated $500,000 in investable assets. And let's say you draw 5% of your investment, $25,000 from that $500,000, 5%. If you could do that sustainably for the rest of your life, that's $500,000 that's left to pass on to the kids, isn't it? And guess what? You're still also living in your house. And I bet by then your mortgage is paid off and you own a house. And let's say that's worth $500,000 too. So there's $1 million that you're going to pass on to the kids. And if you pass that on to the kids, they're going to use that money. They're going to spend it. And I will tell you, I see this happen all the time. Let me ask you, what did you inherit from your parents, from your grandparents? Probably not much. But many retirees are living so frivolously today, in some cases, not like the first couple that I explained earlier in the example, but some are living so frivolously that they're impoverishing themselves or sacrificing their own retirement. And at the same time, making their children more wealthy. And you might think to yourself, well, isn't that a good thing? Well, for some might say yes, some might say no. In fact, we did a seminar a few years ago. We had about 100 people in the room, and I asked the question of the group, given the choice, I want you to think about these two ideas. Number one, would you be willing to sacrifice your own lifestyle in retirement so that you could ensure that your children would inherit a financial future that would ensure that they have a tremendously successful retirement? Or option two, would you prefer to spend and use the resources that you have, and whatever is left over, whatever it may be, that goes to the kids? Which option would you choose? Now, I thought the answer was rather obvious. But I will tell you this, whatever the answer is that you have considered that you think is the right answer, 50% of people think otherwise. When we asked that question in the seminar, we were sitting with, you know, like I said, there's about 100 people in the room, couples sitting next to each other. Some of these couples knew each other, and they watched how the other answered, and some of them started arguing and fighting because they couldn't understand how this person could think that way. How can you impoverish your children? How can you not prepare for the next generation? Folks, in many cases, your kids and your grandkids will make far more money than you've ever made in your entire lifetime. Yes, their needs may be greater because they want to spend more money, but that shouldn't be a burden to you, should it? Enjoy your retirement. You've worked so hard to build this. Now, I know in the back of your head, you're thinking to yourself, but I need to be sure that I have some money for myself so that I don't impoverish myself. I don't want to become a ward of the state. I don't want to become a welfare recipient or a Medicaid recipient. I want to be sure that if I need to go into a nursing home or I need medical care, that I have resources to be able to provide for me. Smart thinking, absolutely. But some people over-obsess over it. You need to find a happy medium. And in fact, part of what we do as financial planners is help people understand the big picture of where they stand financially so that you can understand the array of choices that you have, the ways in which you can spend money to support the lifestyle you want and perhaps even the lifestyle that you never even imagined could happen. It seems to me that more than 50% of the time when I'm visiting with clients and new prospects, that my job is to let them know that they can spend more money rather than less money. And they shake their heads. They don't get it. They just have no idea that they can do it. In fact, I was talking with somebody a couple days ago, and it was her hope that someday they could take all of the kids on a vacation, the children, the grandkids, do a family vacation. But they didn't think in a million years that they could afford it. And part of our job was to really help them understand how they could afford it and how it would have little to no impact on their retirement. You need to understand that. You need to understand how to process, how to utilize the resources that you've accumulated so you can live the retirement that you want, not that you believe you have to settle for. And there are lots of choices out there. A lot of it has to do with how you invest your money. If you keep all of your money in CDs earning nothing or in the bank earning nothing, yes, that's going to be a problem. Yes, does it require some risk to put your money into the stock market or into the bond market or into real estate or whatever it might be? Yeah. But what kind of risk are we talking about? Are we talking about the risk of losing all your money? No. Now, if you want to buy individual stocks, if you want to try to pick the next Facebook and put all your money into it, yes, you could run the risk of losing all your money. Also, you could run the risk of making a lot of money. You know, risk means both up and down. Risk doesn't mean losing all the time. But losing is painful. And you need to be sure that you have the discipline and a strategy in place that allows you to withstand some of the painfulness when markets do droop. Later in the show today, I'm going to share with you a couple stories. There's a big report that came out from the New York Times. It was written by Ron Lieber, and it's entitled Zen and the Art of the 401k Plan. Ron exposes his readers to a report, a research study that was done by Fidelity. Yes, Fidelity Investments right here in Boston, that Fidelity doesn't want you to know about. Fidelity is keeping itself very quiet on it. But a couple of researchers at Columbia University and other places got their hands on the study that Fidelity paid a lot of money for. But when they saw the results, they weren't too happy with them. So I got to share that with you. We're going to tell you all about that and so much more when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Singing in the Rain, the iconic musical comedy, is set to make a splash live on stage at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater.
So, good morning, sunbeams listen, smile. Good morning to you
and you and you and you. Based on the beloved MGM film, Singing in the Rain is the most refreshing show of the summer, featuring hilarious comedy, spectacular musical numbers, and yes, it will rain on stage.
I'm singing in the rain. Singing in the rain.
You'll leave with a song in your heart and a smile on your face.
Glorious feeling, I'm happy again.
What a glorious feeling! Singing in the Rain is on stage at North Shore Music Theater now through August 28th only. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by Beverly Bank.
If I had $1 million.
Good morning and welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand both here on the radio and at our office in Peabody. We are financial planners, we are investment advisors, and I am a certified financial planner professional here in studio today to provide you with some great pieces of advice to help you make smarter decisions as you plan for your own retirement. A little bit about our firm, Friedman Financial, was started in 1968 by my father, Barry Friedman. Dad retired in 2007. I took over the firm then, and I'll be celebrating my 10th year of owning the firm next year. And when we come to April of 2018, our firm will celebrate providing financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley for 50 years. There's not many firms that can say that around town here, and you know, our focus has always been on the local community. Our clients are not super wealthy. I mean, they have resources, don't get me wrong. But generally, clients that have investable assets of $500,000 or more are generally great clients of our firm. If you're having difficult cash flow problems, if you're deep in debt, if you're trying to just get started, our firm is not a great place for you to get started with. But if you're facing yourself, if you're faced with the situation of saying, geez, we've got stuff all over the place. We're approaching retirement. We have so many different decisions to make. We don't know where best to take money from. Perhaps you've got money locked up in 401ks all over the place from several different places of employment that you had. Maybe you've bought insurance policies. Maybe you've bought variable annuities. In fact, I met with somebody a few days ago, who had come to me with almost 16 different investment accounts. And he said to us, he'd like to hire us to be his financial planner. And I said, help me understand something. You have relationships with 16 different financial advisors. Some that are mutual fund advisors, some that are stockbrokers, some that are insurance agents, some that are annuity salespeople. I said, why are you coming to me? Why are you coming here if you have 16 different accounts that you want to hire me to do financial planning? He says to me, well, none of those guys do financial planning. And I said, well, who's done your financial planning in the past? He says, I have. I said, so why did you go to all of those other people? He says, because they would call me up or I'd meet them at a cocktail party or I'd run into a friend that had a good idea for an investment and I'd give him some money. And it all just added up. He has no idea how much it's all worth. He didn't know what it was doing with any of it. He didn't know that one advisor didn't know what the other advisor was doing. He just kept it all in separate spreadsheets. I said, how do you like getting all that mail? All those annual statements, all the 1099s, all the reporting that's necessary. He says, my accountant hates it. I said, I bet he does. There's a better way. There is a better way to simplify your life, to get a financial dashboard of everything that you want, and to get the financial planning advice that you need so that you can understand your trajectory towards the retirement that you want. If you'd like to learn more about that, that is what we do at Friedman Financial. Give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or if you just enjoy listening to the show and you want a little bit more, a little tidbit more of what we're doing, I'd encourage you to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Hit the button that says sign up for Mark's newsletter and boom, all you got to do is put in the email address and you will start getting the newsletter. We provide little tidbits of advice. All my stories, less than 100 words. So it's going to be quick. It's going to be short. And I promise you this, if you sign up for the newsletter, you don't have to worry about a firm like ours calling you. That's not going to happen. We've been doing this too long, almost 50 years, like I said. When the time is right for you to get serious about your financial planning and retirement needs, that's when we will be ready for you, when it's time for you to do it, not when we think it's appropriate. All right. I told you that I was going to share a story with you that came out in the New York Times this past week, written by Ron Lieber. It came out in the August 5th issue of the New York Times. The article was called Zen and the Art of 401k Maintenance. And it talks about a study that investment giant Fidelity had done, and it's relating to an article that was in Business Insider in 2014. The article relayed the transcript of a Bloomberg program in which the well-known money manager Jim O'Shaughnessy said that people who had forgotten that they had accounts performed better than everybody else. The reality is here is that if you pay as little attention as possible to your investment accounts, the study here says you will far outperform trying to figure out things if you want to make changes in your accounts. So Fidelity, who has received inquiries about this study ever since it came out in 2014, insists that they never produced such a study. Well, they never produced it because they never shared it because they didn't like the findings. But the study does exist. It's how disappointing, because given the tantalizing counterintuitiveness that the supposed conclusion said, perhaps chasing headlines and darting in and out of stocks and bonds as hedge fund managers do isn't really necessary at all. In fact, all we do, we spend time listening to CNBC, Bloomberg, reading in, you know, Money Magazine, whatever it is, buy this, sell that, get in out of that. Folks, trading kills your portfolio. The best investors, the very best investors buy quality, they buy a portfolio, and they forget about it. I mean, you'll even hear people talking about rebalancing. And I think rebalancing to a portfolio is very, very important. But the reality is if you did nothing and you bought quality, you're going to do just fine. In fact, it's suggested where so many investment companies these days offer you the ability to stop getting statements in the mail, and you have the ability to have your statements sent to you electronically, that you should sign up immediately. And when you get your monthly notification that your statement is available, just simply hit the delete button. I know it's hard to do. And you know when it's really hard to do it? When the market's going down. But that's the best time to hit delete. In fact, I recall in 2008 when the market was having a difficult time, in 2012, I remember sending out notes to our clients. You're not going to believe I did this. We sent out notes to our clients telling them when their February statement arrives in the mail, I don't want you to open it. I want you to simply take it to the shredder and get rid of it. Don't even look at the value. And we sent out that note for 3 months in a row. And people thought we were nuts. How can you tell your clients not to open their statements? And our clients told us afterwards it was the greatest piece of advice they ever got. Because they realized that day-to-day didn't matter. And you know what's oftentimes true? Is that almost every year the market, from its high point to its low point, will drop almost 10% on average. Imagine that. The stock market will drop 10% within the period of a 12-month rolling period of time, almost every rolling 12-month period. And what are you supposed to do? Get out when the market's going down? Get back in when you think it's going to be better? Nobody does that effectively. And in fact, most people who choose to get out never bother to get back in. In fact, get this. There was a, I'm going to find this thing here. Let me find the right story here. It says here in the report, so should we touch our investments the next time markets take a prolonged dive? This is something Fidelity actually has studied. After the stock market collapse in 2008 and 2009, the company noted that 61,200 401k account holders, that's right, 61,200 401k account holders sold everything in their portfolio, went to cash. So the company decided, let's track all 61,200 of these people to see whether that move would pay off for them. Now, since that period of time, bringing it up to 2015, 16,900 of the 61,200, so 28% of these people, have still not bought stocks in their portfolio. What's strange about that, 13,000 of the 16,000 are still under the age of 60. So what was interesting about that part of it is that many people thought, well, maybe it's because they were 70 or 80 years old. They got scared. They took their money out. They said, I can't run this risk. I need to have my money safe. I need money for retirement. No, almost 70% of the people that cashed out in 2008 and 2009 are under 60 years old. And they still haven't got back in almost 7 or 8 years later. Through the end of 2015, these people who have been out of the market, through the end of 2015, from 2008 to 2015, their account balances rose 27%. 27% from 2015 to 2008. How many years is that? 7 years. Divide 27 by 7, you're getting about a 3.5% rate of return. However, people who had at least some stock exposure, some, not all, some stock exposure, that stayed in the market, that didn't get out, that didn't cash out, saw their accounts average jump on average 157% over 7 years. That left them with an average balance of $176,000, $82,000 more than the people who decided to go to cash. Folks, you can't time the market. You're going to hear lots of stories. Everybody's going to tell you, well, this time it's different. This time it's Trump's problem. This time it's a terrorist problem. This time it's interest rates. This time it's China or Greece or Italy or Rio's bad water. Folks, there'll always be something. We've had worse times in our life. Way worse times in our life than some of the minor little news stories that come across our feeds on Facebook and Twitter. But because we're so inundated with information, we get scared. Information should never be confused with wisdom. We get lots and lots of information. A lot of it's unfounded. A lot of it's based on hearsay. A lot of it's somebody posting something that all of a sudden goes viral. And then 3 days later, you learn that it was never true. We can't invest that way. If you're an investor, you're a long-term investor, not a short-term investor. If you're an investor, your plan is to keep your money invested 5, 10, 15 years or more. Remember, when you look back, think about doing the research that you've done when you picked an investment. You probably looked at the 5-year, 10-year, or 15-year return. And you said, geez, these returns look pretty good. I will bet you if you look at the returns on a 10 or 15-year period on any of the funds that you looked at for research, there were years when the fund was down. In fact, there were periods of time each year when the investment was down. But the only people that got that great rate of average rate of return were the people that stuck to it. I want you to stick to it. You need to close your eyes. You need to play the Rip Van Winkle approach. But I will tell you this. You can't close your eyes if you don't have the right starting point for your investment strategy. And when we get back, I'm going to try to help you build a smart investment strategy so that you can close your eyes a bit and feel comfortable about your financial future. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Model year-end sales event is happening now at Acura of Peabody. This month, let Acura of Peabody make your first month's payment up to $750 on any new or pre-owned Acura. That's right. You get a great new or pre-owned Acura and no first payment to make. Don't miss out. Meet Acura of Peabody's expert team and test drive the new or pre-owned Acura you want today at Acura of Peabody, the North Shore's premier Acura dealer. Easy to find on Route 114 in Peabody and impossible to beat on service and price. Get details now at AcuraPeabody.com.
Do you need a personal, professional, or business website that fits your budget? Mead Web Design of Danvers develops and maintains websites for small and mid-sized businesses. They're a full-service web company, so you can rely on them for design, hosting, and ongoing maintenance services. Call Mead Web Design at 978-222-3722. That's 978-222-3722. Or go to meadwebdesign.com to request a quote. That's M-E-A-D webdesign.com. Mead Web Design. Websites that work.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, here in studio providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. We do this each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Like I said, I'm Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial. Our office is located in Peabody, Massachusetts, and we've been providing financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore since 1968. I haven't really looked back to see what the stock market was doing in 1968, but I don't even think there were four digits in the Dow Jones Industrial Average back then. In fact, I know there wasn't. It was under 1,000. In fact, I think it was even under 500 back in 1968. Today, we're actually looking at a stock market at an all-time high. And how many times in the past 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, did you hear from Cramer or a talking head on CNBC or Bloomberg or wherever it was, that said, this time is different. This time is different. This is the end of the world. You might as well start building up on gold because the dollar's going to be worthless. The United States will go down the tubes. China's going to come in and take over the world. Donald Trump's going to ruin everything. And none of that stuff has happened. Well, I don't know about what Donald Trump's going to do. That is, he has to win first for him to do something like that. We'll see what happens there. That's a whole nother conversation. But still, my point is that things aren't different. Things are better. Each and every day, things get better. Think about how technology has improved our lives. Yeah, there's parts of it that really stink, too, about technology. I'll tell you, I was on a cruise with my daughter, Alana, last week. And one of the best things that I love about cruises is that the internet doesn't work out in the middle of the ocean. But we were on a brand new ship, the brand new Harmony of the Seas out of Royal Caribbean. It was actually a Mediterranean cruise. And apparently, the cruise ships have figured out a way to get a Wi-Fi signal on their boats now. And you pay for that price, and I refuse to pay for internet signal, like, much as my kids might want me to. When I show them how much money it is, they understand. We're just going to leave it alone. Because I said, look, when we land in ports, you can always find a free hotspot, free Wi-Fi spot, whatever. So here's two things. So number one, I check into my room, and there's a letter, because we've cruised a few times, saying, congratulations, here is a free Wi-Fi code for you for the week. It's only good on one device. Now, my wife has a phone. I have a phone. My daughter has a phone. Guess who got the code? My daughter. And I will tell you, technology has not been a great thing the first 4 days because we wanted to spend quality time with her, but she's spending time Snapchatting, Instagramming, Facebook messaging, whatever it is with her friends. And she's thinking about stuff that's going on back home. And sometimes we'd sit at dinner and you could see her eyes just distant. Even though I tell her she couldn't have a phone at the table, you could see she's thinking about what's going on back home. So finally, on Tuesday of our trip, we canceled the internet. I told her just we're getting rid of the Wi-Fi code. So no phone. And it was great. Totally. You watch this. If you have kids, take their phone away for 2 days. For the first 7 or 8 hours, they're going to hate your guts. But if you explain to them that the only way that they're going to get the phone back is when they make the conversation between you and them more meaningful than the conversation that they have virtually, they'll get it. They will. And you'll see a change in your person, in the person. I got to tell you the other thing, though, that was great about this cruise. Remember I told you a few weeks ago how I switched from Verizon to Sprint? Guess what? Free internet. Free texting when I was on landlines, in the land. I didn't have to buy an international package. Nothing. I paid nothing. We got, you get 2G service, so it's a little bit slower. I'm not looking to upload videos or pictures, but I can check my email. Now, I know you're not supposed to do that on vacation. I know that. But, you know, periodically you want to check in. But it worked great. Texting to home worked great. No cost. No cost in. No cost out. If you wanted to make a phone call, it was 20 cents either way. I never made a phone call. But I am loving the relationship that I've established with Sprint. If you haven't looked at it, talk to Steve and Tom over at the Sprint store across from Petco over in Danvers, and they'll take very good care of you. But that has been a great experience for us. So I know I was talking about, I'm even forgetting about what my point was, what I was talking about. But nevertheless, we were talking about the fact that you need to make smart decisions because there's a lot of noise that forces us to make dumb mistakes. We do it all the time. But I promised you in this segment that I would share with you how to start to begin thinking about building an investment portfolio that's appropriate for you, whether you've ever built one before, or maybe you can take a look at the portfolio that you have right now. Is it appropriate? And oftentimes the conversation comes up these days is, I don't want to pay commissions, or I want low fees, or I want this. Well, folks, you've heard of Motley Fool. Motley Fool is big investment. It used to be just a writing firm, and now they have their own funds, believe it or not. Not that I'm promoting their funds at all. I'm not. I'm just reporting on a blog post that came out from them this past week, and it talked about the hidden costs of funds. And when you're putting together a mutual fund portfolio, an ETF portfolio, index fund portfolio, you want to be aware of a few things that you weren't even aware of. Oftentimes when you look to Morningstar or you go to Yahoo Finance or Google Finance, you'll look up a mutual fund and it'll say, what's the expense ratio? And it'll say it's something like 1.3% or 0.9% is the expense ratio. Well, you of course want to find funds that have expense ratios that are lower than average. I think that's only fair to say. Generally, by the way, if a fund has an expense ratio that's higher than average, there's a couple things that are happening. Number one, it may be a new fund. Something that you want to look at when you hear a story about a mutual fund performing really, really well over the past year, the first thing you want to look at is how many assets are in the portfolio. Let's say the mutual fund has $25 million in the XYZ fund, and it had a 30% rate of return. And you might think to yourself, whoa, it's really good. Well, understand that most mutual funds have $1 billion or $750 million in the fund, not $25 million. And chances are, if you had a $25 million fund and you did 30% and you hit the tops of the charts, you know what happens to you the following year? You get killed. Your performance is miserable because all these people hear about the great performance that you had last year. You make the cover of Money Magazine, you make the tops of everybody's list, and everybody starts sending money to you. And all of a sudden, your $25 million fund, the fund that has $25 million, now is $300 million. And the portfolio manager, who's making, what, 1-point-something percent, he's thrilled because he's making more money, but he doesn't know what to do with all the cash that's coming in. And he can't replicate the kind of performance that he did when he only had $25 million to work with. Folks, you want to be careful when you're buying investments. Always take a look. The expense ratio is important to look at. Absolutely important to look at. But also next, take a look at the size of the fund. Oftentimes it says at the top of a Morningstar page, it says the assets in the fund. Now, oftentimes it will say something like 2.8 mm. You know what that means? $2.8 billion. Not 2.8, 2.8,000, or it's 2.8 billion. When you see 800 M, that's 800 million. They abbreviate a lot of things on these Morningstar pages to get so much information on it. But be sure you're looking at that stuff. The other thing that's important, especially if you have a non-retirement account, but even if you have a retirement account, you want to look at something that's called turnover. What does turnover mean? The turnover ratio of a portfolio of a mutual fund says how many times does the manager take the stocks that are in the portfolio and trade in and out of them. Oftentimes, if you see a turnover ratio of 100, a 100% turnover ratio, that means that on January 1st, the portfolio manager might have had 200 stocks in his portfolio. But at the end of the year, he has turned all of those stocks over for something else. Now, we might have sold them, bought them back, doing a lot of things, but all of those stocks, 100%, was turned over. You might think to yourself, so what? That's what the portfolio manager's job is to do. Well, if you're buying individual stocks, if you were to go buy individual stocks right now at Merrill Lynch or Smith Barney or wherever it is, and you wanted to buy it directly, you pay a commission to buy or sell that stock. When a portfolio manager buys or sells a stock, and they're usually doing it in large increments, maybe they're buying 100,000 shares of Google. Do you think they pay a commission to do that? Of course they do. Of course they do. This is called institutional traders. And those guys make a lot of money on those commissions, but the cost of those commissions are never recorded on a mutual fund report. So you don't actually know what the cost of trading was for that portfolio manager. That's a hidden, buried cost that you never see. That's over and above the operating expense. That's over and above the management expense. You got to be careful of that stuff. So you got to take a look at your funds and you say, okay, which ones trade a lot, which ones don't. Now, if you want to be aggressive, you're going to have to deal with funds that do a lot of trading. But I have yet to see any significant benefit on a long-term basis on a high turnover portfolio than a low turnover portfolio. If you can find some funds, and there's plenty of them out there, that have a turnover ratio, let's say under 30%, that means the investors, the manager, is buying quality. He's buying what he believes is a great investment, a great long-term investment. And remember, in a mutual fund, the portfolio manager doesn't get money on one day a year. He or she is getting money every single day. They have to sell sometimes to pay out investors who want their money. They have to buy when new money comes in. So sometimes portfolio managers are smart enough to keep 2 or 3% of their portfolio in cash so that they can meet the requests of outflows. You have to be careful. You have to know what you're buying. Don't just look at the expense ratio as the only expense. You have to understand what the trading costs are. That's very expensive. So when you see funds, and some funds will have 400% turnover, 500% turnover. Imagine that. That means trading switching the entire portfolio every couple months. That's not worth it. I don't believe it's worth it. That's my opinion. When you want to buy quality, you want to buy low expense, low turnover, and especially if you have a non-retirement account, low turnover is very important. Do you know why? Because when there's turnover in the portfolio, when there's trading in a mutual fund, let's say you bought Coca-Cola at $40 and you sold it at $50, or the portfolio manager bought it at $40 and sold it at $50. He just made a $10 profit, right? Well, who pays the tax on the $10 profit? Portfolio manager doesn't. He's got to pass that along to you. And that's why in December, many investors get a very large capital gain distribution. That's one of the most complicated things to explain, I believe, in mutual fund investing. But basically, the capital gain distribution is the amount of net profit that the portfolio manager made from trading. And you might think, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Well, you have to pay tax on that money, whether you sell the fund or not. That's your responsibility to pay the tax on. And the higher the turnover in a mutual fund, the greater likelihood there's going to be that you're going to have to pay taxes on your mutual fund, even though you thought you were holding the mutual fund for the long term, so you wouldn't have to pay taxes for a later date. You got to understand that stuff. It's complicated. It is complicated. And most people don't get this. Most people don't care. And perhaps I've bored you listening to this little iteration here on the radio today. But it's important. It's critical to the success of your own investing. And finally, the last thing that you need to be careful of to build an investment portfolio is your own behavior. You got to make sure that when you buy something, you're buying it for the right reasons. And when you buy it, you keep it there for the long term. You can't just, well, I'll try it. I'll see how it works out. That's not what investing is all about. And if that's your approach, don't do it. If your approach is, well, I'll try it, here's my advice to you. Buy a plane ticket to Vegas, throw $100 down on black and try it. Buy a lottery ticket at your local 7-Eleven. That's how you try it. Go play the horses at Suffolk Downs. That's how you try it. If you're getting into the investment business, I mean, into buying mutual funds for your future, for your retirement, don't try it. Commit to it. And find someone that you work with that will give you rational advice during the most emotional of times. That's what Friedman Financial does. That's what our firm does every single day for our clients. If you'd like to learn more about how we do it, I'd love to meet with you. Our phone number, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about everything. Little thing is it comes with money, and I'm going to figure out what I'm going to talk about because I really don't know. So be surprised when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 1.9.
You got to know. Know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Singing in the Rain, the iconic musical comedy, is set to make a splash live on stage at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater.
So good morning. Good morning, sunbeams will soon smile. Good morning to you.
And you, and you, and you. Based on the beloved MGM film, Singin' in the Rain is the most refreshing show of the summer, featuring hilarious comedy, spectacular musical numbers, and yes, it will rain on stage.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain.
You'll leave with a song in your heart and a smile on your face.
Feeling I'm happy again.
What a glorious feeling! Singing in the Rain is on stage at North Shore Music Theater now through August 28th only. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by Beverly Bank.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We're here in studio from 8 to 9 a.m. each and every Sunday morning, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. We've been talking about lots of stuff today, lots of thoughtful ideas on how you might consider building a portfolio, some of the mistakes that we see people make, how you might spend your money a little bit better, how you might build the right kind of portfolio. And some people might be asking, well, Mark, what am I supposed to do about building a portfolio right now when the market is sitting at an all-time high? Well, let me ask you this. Do you think the market will go higher? Or do you think it'll go lower? The answer is both. It's going to do both. But 5 years from now, 10 years from now, will the market be higher or lower than it is right now? And I'd like to think that it's going to be a lot higher. Really, think about it. 18,000 plus on the Dow right now. Is it reasonable for us to think that we'll hit 20,000 on the Dow? You know, it's interesting. About 10, 15 years ago, there was a book that came out. It was called Dow 20,000. That's when the market was around 7 or 8,000. It's called Dow 20,000. People go, there's no way that's going to happen. I bet in some of our lifetimes, but certainly my daughter's lifetime, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Dow 100,000. Why not? Why not? That's only like a triple. Think about it. If you doubled 20,000 once, that's 40. Doubled 40,000 a second time, that's 80. And if we can double every, say, 10 years, in 30 years, 2046, we could be a Dow 100,000? Is that an unreasonable prediction? Now, you might be thinking to yourself, I'm not going to be around Dow 46. I mean, 2046. You may or may not. But the point is that the trajectory of our stock market, the trajectory of our economy, the trajectory of corporate America is going to be moving upward, not negative. There will be periods of time when markets need to reflect, when corporations need to readjust, when regulations and government infrastructure requires us to rethink our portfolios. But over the long term, we are moving forward. America gets greater. Your portfolios get stronger. And you know what? The world around us gets stronger too. And I think that's really important for you to understand. If you've never traveled outside of the United States, I honestly think that's unfortunate. Because I think you should. In fact, there's some people that are in Massachusetts that have never left the New England states. You need to see the world. You need to get out there and explore. Take a 5-hour drive up to Montreal. It's a lot cheaper up there too. You know, the dollar menu at McDonald's is actually called the 70 cent menu. Actually, it's not, but it's worth about 70 cents. See how different cultures live. What you've expected to be called normal isn't so normal for other people. In fact, some people will look at your lifestyle and say, wow, that's pretty abnormal. But as we become more of a global society, we begin to build a tapestry of common threads. Different colors, but common threads. Think about it. Coca-Cola, a product that we are very familiar with here in America, is just making inroads in China. In India. Think about how many more bottles of Coca-Cola could be sold if more people in India and China bought them. Remember, there's 2 billion people over there. We have 350 million. I always find it fascinating. We've just finished up with the Olympics. And in the opening ceremony, as the countries start walking in, you begin to gain an appreciation for how small the United States is compared to other countries. We may seem to think that, well, everyone speaks English, right? We are not the most popular language. We are not. Go to China. That's spoken a lot more. Go to India, where they speak English, of course. It's a different kind of English. But it's amazing when you see the number of people that are part of each of these countries. And we're just a little speck. Now, a pretty powerful speck, I will tell you that. We make a lot of impact, and people, there are many people that admire what happens here in America and others that don't. But you need to go out and see what's out there. You see how people live. I mean, we're so used to wide roads and big streets and smooth roads and air conditioning and being and the American for Disabilities Act, the ability to be able to go into a bathroom without having to walk down 19 steps. Go to Europe. That's not the case. It's different. It's different, but you know what? Things are rebuilding and people build and they experience cultures to embrace what's happened over there, to embrace the history, but live in modern times. If you've ever been to Japan or to Singapore or to China, you will see some technology that you've never, ever imagined. It's starting over there, not here. And that's why it's important when you build your investments that you want to be sure that part of it is infused in other cultures, in other countries, both developed and undeveloped.
because if you're not, you're missing out. I think it's fair to say that the U.S. economy is going to grow at a much slower pace these days. And in the years to come, where we might have expected 8, 9, 10% returns in the stock market, I think you should expect more like 5 or 6. Now, sure, there will be investments that will go up greater than that and that will drop more than that. But expect 5 to 6. On bonds, don't expect anything right now. If interest rates start going up, bond investors, people that are invested in bonds, are actually going to lose money. But does that mean that you get out of bonds? No, I'm not saying that. You're still going to get your coupon. You're still going to get your interest payment, but the value of that bond could drop when interest rates go up. You hold your bond to maturity, you're going to do okay. But understand that there's risk. There's more risk in this market with interest rates going up to bonds than there is of the stock market fluctuating. That's my opinion. That's my opinion. But I think you harness and you change your profiling of your portfolio by making sure that you have international investments. You also make sure that you have small cap investments, mid cap investments, growth and value investments. And when you're building your portfolio on the bond side, you want to really be careful about owning long-term bonds right now. What do I mean by a long-term bond? Long-term bonds mean that they're going to mature 10 or 15 years or more from now. Long-term bonds have the greatest risk of losing value when interest rates go up. Your short-term bonds and short-term bond funds have a lesser risk. They are going to lose a little bit, but certainly nothing as dramatic as what long-term bonds are going to do. However, all that being said, do you know over the past 3 months, where has been the best place to invest money? Junk long-term bonds. Now, people would never think to do that because I just told you don't do that, right? It's up 9.27% in 3 months. On a three-year basis, they're averaging 12.5%. Junk long-term bonds. Now, that might be a nice number, but that is as risky as it comes, folks. That could go to a negative number in a second. But what have typical, what's the 10-year treasury averaged over the past 1 year? The 10-year treasury, even though it's only paid about 1.5%, because interest rates have stayed low. In fact, they've gone down, they average about 5%. But that's not going to happen moving forward. Folks, we need to be careful. We need to be careful when we start to look at the historical returns of bond funds and think that they're going to repeat themselves in the next 5 to 10 years to come. Not going to happen. You're not going to like what those numbers look like. So I want you to be careful as you think about your bond investing. I think, I honestly believe that you are better off utilizing bond funds rather than individual bonds right now because there's a lot more liquidity, a lot more flexibility. A lot of different in fixed income fund choices. Now, whether you use mutual funds, whether you choose ETFs, whether you choose index funds, that's up to you. It's your own personal preference. You got to figure out what works for you. But I think buying individual bonds, long-term individual bonds right now is a huge, huge mistake. Look, you know what? What amazes me is we're sitting here at the top of the market. What are we supposed to do? If you have new money right now, do you throw the money in? Do you put it to work? Well, here's what I would do. If I had new money right now that I wanted to put to work, I would probably figure out first, how much money do I want to have in the stock market, how much in the bond market? Now, I know I told you that the bond market, I don't have the most exciting outlook for, but I still think you need to have fixed income as part of your portfolio. And whatever that fixed income allocation is right now, I'd probably invest it now in the near future. Interest rates aren't going to start jumping up towards till like the end of the year, probably mostly in 2018, I would bet. Not even really much in 17. So I would make that bond investment now, that bond fund investment allocation, because you'll get some yield, you'll get some dividend. On the stock side, with it being up as high as it is, I'd put 20% to work right now. And then over the next 5 months, add another 20%. However, if the market takes a big pullback somewhere in the next weeks or months to come, don't just be rigid on saying, I'm going to invest on the 16th of the month for the next 5 months. Be a little nimble. Allow yourself the flexibility of saying, you know what? I've got cash on the sidelines. This is a great buying opportunity. Don't put more than the 20% in because the markets could continue to fall further. They could also move forward. And try to work your way into the market. However, I will tell you this. If you are retiring or you're saying, you know what? I'm about to roll over my 401k into an IRA. and your 401k is fully invested right now, that means it's already in mutual fund. It's already established. If you are rolling that that actively, fully invested mutual fund, a 401k, over to an IRA, I would invest everything right now. And that's because you're already invested. It's not like you were sitting in cash. You're already invested. You've been there for the ride. Keep going for the ride. Remember, when you retire at 65 years old or whatever that year is going to be, it's very likely that you'll be living in retirement for as long as you've worked. It's a scary prospect to think about, but the likelihood of you living to 100 is very, very possible. Should someone that has 35 years as a life expectancy put most of their money in fixed income, cash, and bonds? Absolutely not. You want to talk about running out of money. You want to talk about risking your own financial fortune. Throw it all in cash, throw it all in bonds, and you are putting yourself at huge risk. I'm not telling you to buy individual stocks. I think that is a fool's bet. I've told you that several times. But building the right portfolio with low expenses, low turnover, advice, a well-balanced portfolio, you are going to exceed your expectations over time. But most importantly, leave it alone. All right, we're out of time. I want to remind everybody before we go that I do put out a free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. Planning Pointers comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning, right into your inbox. If you would like a free copy of it, and we've been doing this since March of 2009. That's a long time now that I think of it. A lot of newsletters we've done. March of 2009, been putting it out. Our website is friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to our website, very bottom of the page. It will say sign up for Mark's newsletter. Hit the button, put in your email address, and all done. You will start getting it the following Friday. That's all the time I have for today. We've got to get out of here so I can make room for Aurelia Nelson. She's got her show curtain up coming up right after me. I'm out of here. Have a great day. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 4.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.